The Democratic walkout reaches a milestone. Will it end soon? National interest groups weigh in. John Gregg for governor, Dick Lugar on Libya, and what to do with Durham donations. That plus the governor's book deal and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending March 25, 2011.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. The path to a successful business has unexpected twists and turns. The legal professionals at Ice Miller are dedicated to guiding businesses along the journey. Experience takes businesses to the top. Ice Miller can help them stay there. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.
This week, House Speaker Brian Bosma and Minority Leader Pat Bauer met face-to-face in private for the first time since the Democrats walked out of the Indiana House. Bosma, however, said the Wednesday meeting was neither long nor meaningful, and most of the Democrats stayed in Urbana, Illinois, preventing a quorum for the 32nd day on Thursday. Afterward, the House Speaker said that despite the fact that Pat Bauer called the meeting positive, they had substantive negotiations for only about 5 minutes.
It was a rather random meeting. We happened to be in the same place at the same time. We did have a brief discussion. In all honesty, most of it was personal stuff. I was asking about his health, the health of his members over there.
It's not time to go start jumping on the trampoline yet.
Are you any closer to coming back today than you were yesterday?
Well, there's, again, that's something to make a declaration on that. It isn't helpful to getting a final resolution either.
Is the walkout coming to a close? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel, Democrat Ann Delaney. Republican Mike McDaniel, Leslie Weidenbender, State House Bureau Chief for the Louisville Courier-Journal, and John Ketzenberger, President of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV State House reporter Jim Shella. Mike McDaniel, is Speaker Bosma downplaying this to hide the fact that he's negotiating?
Probably. And the reason I say probably is that early on, they were all criticized for trying to do this out in the public, and I've had a lot of State House press corps folks tell me that they wish they'd get behind closed doors and get this solved so you could get a resolution to this, and I think that's exactly what's going on here. I think it is at a tipping point. It's a critical juncture, and we'll probably know this week whether they're going to come back or not.
Are the Democrats going back to Urbana next week?
I'm cautiously optimistic. The speaker says 5 minutes. The minority leader says a lot longer than that. Whatever the reason, however the length of time, the two of them have a relationship that spans 20 years, and they've worked together on very complicated bills before. So they know how to bring this to resolution. And I think that the cooler heads are prevailing, and they're talking. And whenever you have that happen, the chances of settlement go up dramatically.
The speaker did say that there were several phone conversations in addition to this face-to-face meeting. And the reality is that if they are getting close, you don't want to admit that in public.
Oh, heavens no. That'd be the worst thing you could do. You don't want to do something that will cause the other side to feel slighted or upset or like you're giving away the end game. That will really cause a massive blow-up. So, you know, it's a good sign that they are talking, that they are being fairly circumspect about what they are talking about. And it does seem like they are getting to the point where they are getting close to an agreement, and they really need to. I mean, this has really gone on for such a long time that they risk doing real damage to their long-term viability, really.
Leslie, you were in Urbana this week. Did you get the feeling that some of the Democrats are anxious to get back, whether they have a deal or not?
There's no doubt that Democrats are really eager to come home. But they seem absolutely resolute to me that they want to have concessions on some of these bills before they're going to do it. I mean, I think that they are frustrated. I think they're tired. Certainly, this is a huge financial hit for some of them, and that could be part of the deliberations as they decide how to end this. But they really are concerned about what they believe are the problems with the GOP agenda, and I don't think they're going to come back unless they get some of what they want.
Yeah, you talk about the financial burden. The fines are now $350 a day. Can you foresee a circumstance where the Republicans wouldn't waive those fines?
I'm not going to say, and I don't know. I mean, I just don't, and I don't know if that's part of the negotiation or not, so I'd rather not comment. But I get a kick out of the fact that one Democrat legislator was quoted this week as saying that if it wasn't for single rooms at the Comfort Inn, Indiana would be a right-to-work state. So
they're probably, by now.
They're probably getting tired of being, you know, it's like a
that
family.
That was Scott Pilath. Yeah.
Well, I didn't say that, by the way, Scott. But it's like a family vacation, you know. If you were going on one for a month, those first 3 days are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Maybe not at the Comfort Inn.
Your husband, Representative Ed Delaney, is part of this group.
He is.
Safe to say he's anxious to come home?
It's safe to say. At least that's what he tells me. I can only quote him.
All right. A pair of outside interest groups are trying to influence the walkout this week. A Democratic group is buying TV ads, and a right-to-work group that came to town for a news conference is also buying newspaper ads.
Governor Daniels and the Republicans in Indianapolis want to kill collective bargaining, slash wages for workers, and decimate public schools by sending our tax dollars to private schools. But Democrats are standing up to Daniels' anti-middle class agenda and standing up for us.
There are literally hundreds of thousands of Indianans who believe that a worker should have the right to join a union, but should never be forced to pay dues as a condition of getting or keeping a job.
Yeah, that's a spokesman for the Right to Work group that's buying full-page newspaper ads, Ann Delaney. Do the Democrats need to change public opinion? Is that why we see these TV ads?
I think the TV ads are geared more to the opinion makers as opposed to rank-and-file voters. You've got them on news adjacencies, and you've got it just reinforcing for people who have made the decision to go to Urbana and to stick it out that they're doing the right thing. They're also getting, the legislators are also getting phone calls, I assume orchestrated, from constituent groups too, telling them, right on, keep the faith, keep going. So I think it just is the words of encouragement for the Democrats.
The House Republican Campaign Committee, the group responsible for the new Republican majority in the House, did a poll, a scientific poll that they released this week that says 66% of voters in Indiana are opposed to the walkout. But it also said that 57% of Democrats support it. So what Ann and the Democrats have been saying all along is that their constituents are behind them is accurate, right?
Except that they're constituents.
Wait a second. Could I have an affidavit to that effect from you? I really would like to have that in writing.
You've got it on tape, man.
Yeah. Except that the problem is that the constituents, that may reflect their strength as far as their own constituents concerned, but it doesn't reflect the overall result of the last election. That's the disconnect here. It seems to me that the answer is yes, this group is running the TV spot because they are trying to sway public opinion. They know that the longer that they're there and the public doesn't like the idea that they're not doing their jobs, the more likely they have to try to change people's minds about that, and I think that's why they're running the spots. And as far as the other group is concerned, the right-to-work folks, I think they're making a huge mistake by doing what they did.
They targeted the governor and the speaker.
It just pegs the stupid meter as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you're trying to make mad, if you will, the people, the very people that have talked about this issue over the last 7 years.
Exactly.
As Representative Torres brought this up for 7 years. This isn't anything new for anybody. Yeah. So, you know, it's There's a lot of stupid there. I mean, there really is.
Yeah, but Senate President Pro Tem David Long says he's putting this issue in a study committee. The governor has said he doesn't want to do it this year.
Right.
There's no doubt, though, that this is going to be on the agenda down the road for Republicans. And I'm not sure
they think by getting involved now, it's going to bring the Democrats back.
Yeah.
And then coming to town and calling them Indianans.
Yeah. I think that indicates a level of what's going on here, and that is that a lot of times the agenda, and not just in Indiana, but in other states, is being hijacked by third-party interest groups. And
on both sides.
That's right. No, it's not just the right-to-work group. There are other groups that have done the same thing. And you know, this is that unlimited amount of money that's coming into these state houses, and they try to set the agenda. And in this case, they did set the agenda, and what it did is detonated the entire process.
It was a very good on the point Mike makes about the election. You know, these individual legislators are elected by district. They're not
right.
elected in the statewide majority, and they
right.
are representing the constituents in their district. There was a great letter to the editor from a person in Richmond the other day saying the Republicans got 60 votes, the Democrats got 40. Republicans won 100% of the agenda. They should have 60% of the agenda, not 100%.
All right.
And I think that makes perfect sense.
Predictions. Will the Democrats come back before we return to this studio next week, Mike?
I think so.
You think they will. It ends in the next weekend.
I do too.
It feels like it. Yeah, I agree with that.
I suspect that it might take a little longer. I think that that might be a goal, but these things have a way of blowing themselves up.
I think as things stand now, it's close. It's likely, but until it's over, it's not over. Yogi Berra say that?
Wow, that's profound. No, I think he said it isn't over to the fat lady sings.
Democrat John Gregg is testing the waters in the 2012 race for governor. And while he says he's not yet in the race, he's looking to clear the field.
I know there are other people who have mentioned, and I've had a dialogue with virtually all of them. And all of them have privately told me that they were not looking at it in a serious fashion. And I think they realize that I am looking at it in a serious fashion, so I'm hoping that'll all be avoided.
John Katzenberger, does John Gregg have the inside track for the Democratic nomination?
Well, I don't know if John Gregg does, but boy, that mustache might. That's a beaut, isn't it?
You don't usually see that on a gubernatorial candidate. And I asked him if he was going to keep it, and he said he's had it 30 years.
It would be odd to see him without it, honestly. And so, I think he's doing all the right things that he needs to do at the right time. There's still the question mark of whether Representative Donnelly, depending on how his district goes, might look at the governor's race, might look at the U.S. Senate race. But I think of the names that have been floated, and with the Jonathan Weinzappel's decision to step back, I think John Gregg is in a good spot.
Yeah, Vi Simpson's in the mix, Kathy Davis, but you just heard John say that if he gets out, he thinks others will fall by the wayside. Does that sound plausible?
I think a lot of Democrats are pretty excited about the idea of John Gregg running. I mean, I know they are in southern Indiana. I don't have as clear a thought about what it means in northern Indiana. But, I mean, I think John Gregg is a formidable candidate with a good resume, and it would be hard for others, I think, to knock him out.
We've talked on this program before about Mike Pence's circumstance where it doesn't make sense for him to announce that he's in the race for governor until after the legislature goes home because of the fundraising limitations created by a new law. The same applies to John Gregg, correct?
Yeah, except that in John's case, and really in Mike's case also, it's really not necessary that they be raising money yet. You'd like to be able to do that, and I think this law is stupid myself. But in both of their cases, right now, the most important thing is communicating with people inside their party about who their preferences are, and that's really an organizational function at this point in the process more than it is rank and file, wholesale, sales pitch to the voting public. So, there's plenty of time for that, and John understands that, and I think that's why he's making his rounds to the Democrat apparatus trying to clear the field.
2008, Jill Long Thompson and Jim Schellinger met in a $4 million primary. Democrats want to avoid that at all costs.
No question about it. I mean, if you've ever been state chair, the last thing you want to have is a primary or a contest at a state convention. You want it all agreed upon beforehand.
And if there's any question, that was the primary. The Jill Long Thompson, Jim Schellinger primary was the primary to show how it won't work.
Yeah.
That did not work.
Right. Well, I kind of had one, too.
Yeah, you did.
You did kind of have one, didn't you?
Rex Early and Steve Goldsmith.
Yeah.
No, that's right.
That was a lot of fun.
That same year, you had a pretty good convention, too,
as I
recall.
Yeah.
And don't forget Lindley Pearson in the convention back then,
that
too.
That was Rex's convention.
That was Rex's convention.
Okay. Enough history. Is John Gregg going to be the nominee?
I think it's a little too soon to tell that, because there are other names out there, and I think it'll... like I said, I'm hopeful that it will all shake out so there will be one candidate, but I think it's a little too soon to say that for sure.
At this stage, 8 years ago, Mitch Daniels was already identified as the Republican
nominee.
Good for
him. You don't have a Republican identified yet. I hear Mike
Pence. You don't think
Pence,
it's going to be Mike Pence?
I don't know. I hear him speaking, and it sounds like he's running for zealot in chief. None of the issues he discussed have anything to do with state government at all.
He hasn't announced he's running for governor yet.
Well, that's my point.
Yeah.
So we don't have a candidate on the Republican side.
I think Mitch Daniels actually had not yet left D.C.
No, he left it the first of the year.
He did.
He left it the first
of
the year.
He didn't make the announcement until the summertime, though,
that's
did he?
He didn't make a formal announcement, but there were these draft movement rallies, it was pretty clear that he was the guy by this point in the
process. I would compare the Daniels situation to Pence. And I, in terms of Pence is out on the road doing the things, everybody thinks he's going to be the nominee. I don't think the Democrats are as far along yet.
An Indiana state senator is giving back campaign contributions that came from indicted financier Tim Durham. Republican Senator Mike Delf of Carmel wrote a letter to the bankruptcy trustee along with the $10,000 that the indicted Durham gave to his campaign in 2006 and 2007. Delf wants the money to go to Durham's alleged victims, people who lost investments in Fair Finance in Ohio, the company he's accused of looting. Durham gave the money back. Durham also gave money to Governor Daniels and other Republicans to the tune of $800,000. Daniels and others say the money has been spent and there's nothing to return. Leslie Weidenbender, did Delf do the right thing?
Well, I think if Delf wants to run for some other offices, I think it's a great thing. I mean, he can go around saying that he did this. And, I mean, there are going to be a lot of people who think it was a good thing to do. I don't think it's surprising that some of these other folks, though, aren't going to give it back. I mean, this was several election cycles ago.
Right. Delf is also saying that he's calling on the other Republicans to do the same thing. He's saying that, I mean,
you might normally say that is bad, a bad idea to call on people in your same party to do that. But this is nothing new for Mike Delf. I mean, he's not irritating anyone that he hasn't probably irritated before with some of his other stands on issues. So I think he's done what he thinks is best for him, and everybody else is doing the same.
Although he was in a car accident this week, and I read on the internet that he did have his head examined.
I got to follow that.
Attorney General Greg Zeller is another interesting case.
Right.
He got $11,000 in contributions from Tim Durham. He's put them in a segregated account. He says he's waiting to see if there's a conviction, and if there's a conviction, if a restitution fund is established.
Well, if there's a conviction, there will be a restitution fund established. And so I understand what he's doing. Look, this money is essentially poison, okay? This is a clear case of a company being looted for somebody's personal gain. And we're talking about $200 million, very serious charges, and $800,000, while in the scheme of $200 million, is not a lot of money. It's a lot of money to the people who got really taken advantage of in this situation. So $800,000 back in that restitution fund would make a difference for those people. And I think that you know, I know it was several cycles ago, but people who claim to be wanting to do the right thing for people really ought to take a look at being, you know, returning those donations.
Innocent until proven guilty. But do these indictments change the circumstance here?
I think they do change the circumstance, because the rationale by the governor for not giving it back, I've spent it, is ridiculous. I mean, if I know this would never happen, John, but if John robs a bank and gives me money and I go spend it and they come to me for the money and I say, oops, sorry, spent it, they don't have a claim? They do have a claim. And there may be litigation from this going forward if these candidates are still in public office. If I were the trustee in that, I'd be chasing that money. And having that litigated is going to be very, very ugly, particularly if you have any illusion of running for a national office.
Well, wonder who she's talking about there.
Greg Zeller.
Okay. The trustee hasn't written letters. The trustee wrote letters to everyone who received.
Right.
Apparently, Delf didn't get one. But everyone who the trustee was aware of who got contributions has gotten a letter from the trustee saying pay it back, and most of them have been ignored. Do you think the trustee will sue these people?
No. And here's why. One, it was several cycles ago. Two, that wasn't his only source of income, what he supposedly got from this particular company. And so how do you determine where this money came from that he gave those contributions from? It's almost impossible if not impossible to do that. The money is not there because that was several cycles ago. But I will say this. I think what the Attorney General did was exactly right. He's doing this the way it should be done.
Now, and Leslie, if I could just interrupt briefly, he says this isn't. He's not doing this based on legal advice or a legal consideration. He says it's a political consideration.
It is a political consideration, but I think he's doing it the right way. And I think Leslie's absolutely correct that Mike is. This isn't the first time Mike's tried to position himself for future consideration, so I'm not surprised that Mike Duff would take this position. By the way, I saw Mike today, ran into him at lunch, and he did take a really serious hit in that accident, but he seemed to be doing okay.
He said actually the concern was about his spleen and not
his
head.
He got T-boned in this wreck, and it really
right.
hit him hard.
Get well, Senator Dell. Yeah. Time now for viewer feedback. Each week, we pose an unscientific online poll question in conjunction with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question is, what should politicians who took donations from Tim Durham do with the money? Your choices are A, give it back, B, wait to see if there's a conviction, or C, I don't care. Last week's question was, what do you think of Evan Bayh's recent career moves, including a move to Fox News as a commentator? 39% said good for him. 42% said he can't return to political office now. 19% said I feel personally betrayed by the senator, the former senator. If you'd like to take part in the poll, go to WFYI.org/IWIR and look for the poll. Indiana Senator Richard Lugar is speaking out this week against American troop deployment in Libya. He wants more information from the Obama administration.
But we really have not discovered who it is in Libya that we are trying to support. Obviously, the people that are against Gaddafi, but who?
Mike McDaniel, is Lugar speaking up more because he's facing a challenge from Richard Murdoch?
No. I mean, Dick Lugar has been asked about international issues as they have arisen for the entire time he's been in the United States Senate because he's looked upon as one of the foremost authorities on those issues. It happened during the crisis in the Philippines and the Reagan administration. They listened to him, and it made a heck of a difference there. The Bush administration didn't listen to him. Didn't make a difference there like it should have. It seems like the Obama administration is paying attention because he called him out on the fact that the mission hasn't been exactly defined. It seems like shortly thereafter they did define the mission a little bit more. So people do go to Dick Lugar on these kind of questions. And thank goodness we have a United States senator who's looked upon around the world as being a leader in these issues.
And he's facing a primary challenge from Richard Murdoch. And Murdoch, like previous Democratic opponents, are trying to suggest that Lugar's worried about things in other parts of the world instead of here, having a high-profile conflict here and Lugar speaking out in a whole high-profile way. Does that help him or hurt him back in Indiana?
I think it's more... it's less the foreign policy part of that than it is what his position on this is. I think he's tacking to the right in response to having Murdoch run against him. I mean, one of the reasons that Democrats didn't run anybody against him in 2006 was that he was a respected moderate. And now he's going as far to the right as he can get with a straight face. I mean, you know, for example, he was attacking the president about putting ground troops in Libya. That was never part of the agenda. Okay, nobody ever suggested ground troops from America were going to go into Libya. So, I mean, all he's trying to do is to position himself to appease the Tea Party, and that's going to cost him some Democratic votes because people thought he was a moderate.
Do you think he's trying to address the label as President Obama's favorite Republican?
Well, I'm sure he'd just as soon not hear that again. However, I disagree with Ann that in this particular case he is moving outside of a zone that he would have otherwise moved. I think that that Senator Lugar would take the position he's taking now regardless of whether he faces a challenge from Richard Murdoch. And I think Richard Murdoch needs to be careful because people understand that the world is a dangerous place. And to try to stigmatize a senator who is seen as a leader and somebody who can understand, translate, and affect these things around the world could backfire on him.
I wish I understood these frankly, foreign policy decisions in a way that I could know whether he was going too far right or too far left. I mean, I can't pretend to be an expert enough to know, but I mean, I have to think John is right.
Leslie, it's okay to do that on this show.
I just don't think that I just don't see Senator Lugar playing around with his views on these kinds of issues in order to appease some part of the Republican Party.
Finally, Governor Mitch Daniels will soon add author to his list of accomplishments. Daniels has signed a book deal with Sentinel, a division of Penguin Group. His book is tentatively called Keeping the Republic, Limited Government, Unlimited Citizens. It is mostly written already and scheduled to hit the bookstore shelves in September. Daniels says he expects to donate a portion of the proceeds to charity. Ann Delaney, will you read that book?
Probably not. Not at least till it gets to the library and I don't have to pay for it.
It's going to charity.
Yeah.
A portion of it's going to charity.
What's he gonna write about? He's going to write about serious issues facing this country, and his contribution would be what he would do about those issues. And it's going to, I think, reflect the speech he gave to the CPAC gathering. It'll be a very serious book about serious issues and not something, really, if you're running for president, that you probably want out there because people will be able to cherry-pick lines out of it and work them against you if you're running for president.
So look, for president.
Look for a straightforward book from Mitch Daniels.
That's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, Leslie Weidenbender of the Louisville Courier-Journal, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/podcast, or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity. Just go to Hoosier TV and look for Indiana Week in Review under News. I'm Jim Shella of Wish TV. We'll see you again next week.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. Things can go wrong in a thousand different ways. Businesses need a law firm that knows the thousand and first. The team of legal professionals at Ice Miller is committed to helping put the pieces back together. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.